We do have an issue with the government. I don't know how many grants. I know that we get a lot, you know, from grants. But do we know any grants on the horizon that potentially completely cut off the convention?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a nomination. Of course, in our, we've got a guy on the committee that that has experience, professionals, planning, and I think he'd make a good chairman. I'd like to nominate Jason Lyons for the chairmanship.
Do you have a motion on the floor?
I'll second the motion.
There's a second. All right, any discussion?
I would if I could. It lays out our duties on the infrastructure committee that was passed at our last meeting in January. It says that we're supposed to consider and or recommend proposed infrastructure items to be presented to the Coral Court for consideration and final passage, review proposed infrastructure improvements within the county, and develop ordinances relating to the county's transportation system, water system, and other community projects. That's the reason that I nominated Jason, is that he has experience in that, and I have personally dealt with over my entire tenure on the court, items relating to especially infrastructure and roads. And I don't think we've been addressing those the way we should, and I think we might make some progress in that area if Jason has the opportunity to take the chairmanship. So I appreciate your support.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I would like to hear from you, Justin, about your experience previously leading this committee and what you think some of the greatest successes that you've had on this committee.
Definitely. Thank you for that opportunity. So I've been on the committee for, this is my 11th year. I chaired it last session, and we had several issues that came up. One of the hardest ones that we dealt with was when there was an individual around the Gold Creek area, and that individual had built on his land that he had inherited from his family. So he did not have to, in Butler County, he didn't do any checks to see if he was in a flood zone. And he happened to be in a FEMA flood zone, and really just a very small portion of his house. But due to the FEMA regulations and the ordinances that the county has, he was not able to continue and complete construction and live in that. So he came to infrastructure to request a waiver. And we heard from OEM and our floodplain administrator, and we discussed it, and it was probably the hardest vote for everybody that night because he was clearly in violation of FEMA ordinance. He wasn't at the base level. And if we would have given a waiver, we could have put all of Fulton County residents in danger of losing flood insurance. So, fortunately, he was able to look at the regulation. We voted no, we didn't get a waiver. But he was able to work with OEM and, well, I don't want to say get around, but he was able to come into compliance so he could actually live within his house that he built on his own land. That was probably the hardest issue that we have dealt with, even in the last 11 years. There was another time that we had an issue probably 7 or 8 years ago where a man built a barn, and this was before the big flood, 2019, and he had asked for the same thing. He had to do an engineering study and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars getting a no-rise certificate. And then he came into compliance, but then the flood, of course, actually got the barn. So those are the most impactful that we see. You know, clearly from a committee and from a formal court standpoint, there is a clear separation of powers. As a court and as a committee, we can't tell the county church what to do. We can't tell him what road to pave, what road not to pave. Should we use chip seal versus gravel versus asphalt? Those are spelled out in the Constitution of Arkansas. Those are his duties. Those are not ours. Our duties are to basically the first year. We can approve his budget, his request, and we can deny it. I've worked, and everybody I assume works well with the road administrator, with the road foreman. I speak to the road foreman multiple times a week. I go to church with him, and I go to softball with his daughter, so I know him really well. So where I may not bring, most of the time, I don't bring issues to the committee that I can pick up the phone and resolve an issue in 15 minutes, because something coming through committee and then going to full court can take weeks, if not months, when really it just needs to be an email or a phone call. I feel like we have addressed issues that have come up. I'm not going to call meetings that we don't need to have, nor am I going to try to micromanage the judge's office or anybody else's office, because that is their duty and that's what they're responsible for to the voters, is managing that. If the judge's office needs our assistance, if they need our approval for like a waiver that we talked about earlier, or if they need additional funding for funding the new project down through here, and the budget and finance. So I feel like there's a balancing act there, and that's a hard one to manage, because we have meetings every month, but you know, Tom could also provide us road update every month that takes 5 minutes versus us each getting an additional $170 a month just for all the meeting. I'm not going to do that. So that's the balance that I try to strike and we'll continue to strike. If we have issues, and we do have several issues, and Justice Lyon, in his expertise and what he does with the city of Mayflower, is going to be such a subject matter expert. Definitely working through that, whether I'm chair or he's chair, or everybody else is chair. But again, I try to strike a balance between managing what we constitutionally need to do, not stepping over the bounds into micromanaging the judge's office approach. So, any other discussion?
Can I ask another question? How many times did the infrastructure committee meet the last 2 years?
I have no idea. Probably once every other quarter, once probably three times a year. Probably. How many times have you talked to the judge's office this last year? How many times have you called Lance Williams and asked about an issue?
I've talked to him a few times. I don't keep track of it.
Man, sir. Yes. I think it's important to know. It's our job as JP and the committee to bring
resolutions
and ordinances to the table, and we just
haven't done that collectively.
So I don't think it's really
sure
the Knight's fault. I think that the thing he alluded to is the most important point. I believe the county's judge's office, with Tom leading the way, in our area is doing a great job, but we don't have to necessarily be. Now, I certainly concur as a conservative, but I don't want to charge our taxpayers extra money if we don't have to. Now, I'm not saying I don't want to meet more, because I love the idea of thinking about infrastructure, but really, personally, and I put that on me too, I haven't felt the need to put a whole lot of resolution on the table, because I just think Mr. Tom is doing a great job, and I don't have to really worry about it. But if someone like Justice Hines, who has a clear amount of expertise, way more than me, brings them to the table, I'm certainly willing to listen and you know, help. So I think it's just, we just need to understand that it's our job as JPs too, not just on the chairman, to bring these to, I would say to every chairman, and I think Knight's done a great job, and I think what he says is important. He strikes a balance between not calling me in a meeting and allowing the judge's office to do what they do, because I'm reminded, I'm a part-time player in this. The judge's office, they're the pros, and they've done a great job and allowing us to help work with them. So while I understand the motion, don't necessarily disagree with it, but I think what Knight said is important to me. And I think it's great that you asked that question, because that shows you want to get involved, and obviously that's why you're here. And I can appreciate that.
Any other discussion?
So I will agree with Justice Tyler and Justice Knight. Tom's done a fantastic job keeping us informed at the core court meetings, which we did not have, I believe the core court did not have prior to the previous session. That was a position we created to help out the ARPA funds and also with the road to handle all the road issues outside of essentially the public works department. So Tom has been very, very, very authoritative on that and has done a great job. In fact, he always smiles when I ask him every question at the meeting. So that portion of it's really great. I understand Justice Knight's the balancing act. Obviously, yeah, we're not here to do the judge's job. So he does it. The judge, Mr. Higgins, they all do a great job on that. And we just try to see if there's projects that need our attention. I guess I'm assuming generally they come down to the chair via the judge's office. So I think obviously we have issues. We can always ask to have it addressed at a committee meeting, whether that happens or not. So I mean, again, I just kind of pull out of the grief. Tom has done a great job on clarifying everything for the full court report at the full court meetings. As far as the road issue, any road issues.
Just kind of wrapping up. With Tom coming on, he has definitely provided some insight that we just didn't have to the committee before. And he's able to take the data that he has from the road shop and present it every month to us. So there were some months that we met and they had to report. They fixed 20 bubbles. It's hard to sometimes justify meeting. They dug up 20 pipes across the road, and that's what we had to talk about. I talked to Administrator Higgins on a monthly basis. At least I ask him, okay, is there anything we need to discuss? Is there anything else anybody else has brought up to you? Because I can't talk to you guys. And if I am, I could get in big trouble legally. And so I don't. So if there's an issue, it needs to come through Tom, through Randy, through the judge, through Margaret, back to me. Because the state of Arkansas has laws that prohibit us and school board members from discussing business outside of the schools. And even the legislators don't have to play by those rules. They can go out and play golf and discuss things before they ever reach the committee and have everything hashed out. We don't get that pressure. And so it makes it difficult. We can't email each other or text each other or Facebook text each other, or we can avoid it. And we can have interviews with state police. And that has happened before. And it's not fun. I think I'm the last sitting JP that has happened to and still on this court. And so that's why you see me take a hands-off approach when it comes to communication. I will always try to communicate through Margaret, through Randy, through somebody else, just so they can't say I ever tried to do an end around or sneak something in, because I don't think I've experience. I had to live through that. So that was not a very fun time on the court.
I would be interested to hear from Justice Lyon if you are interested in this role, and if so, do you have a vision for what this committee could do that might be different than what the committee has done in the past?
I'll tread a little lightly on this. Obviously, I have two items up for discussion tonight, and I think may or may not know, I worked for the city of Conway for 12 and a half years, but at the same time, for about 10 of those years, I was also essentially the GIS coordinator for the county via contract. So I got to know the previous OEM director. I also knew the current director via his as Bologna fire chief. So seeing some of the stuff, I think I'm looking at bringing stuff up that I hope will benefit the county in the long run. I think there's some deficiencies that just haven't been addressed, and maybe it is, I don't want to say it's expertise or not, it's just stuff maybe not have been looked at through a lens. There's a lot of other issues, I think, that we've looked at through the ARPA funds. Millions of dollars have gone out to smaller cities and smaller wastewater agencies and other stuff, and then you know, some constant questions I have at meetings is just kind of where are we at on certain projects. And again, Mr. Anderson has been fantastic on that, answering questions on any state projects that we have. So it's just bringing, trying to, I guess, in some ways, bring a little different view without as much experience as obviously Justice Knight has had from being on here much longer. I'm kind of bringing it on as a more of a long-term planning view a little bit, and just areas that I see as maybe some deficiencies that as a committee and as a quorum court, we can look to address to help the Pocatello County citizens in the long run, so without a overstand. And being a planner, being a city planner, I know, and I'll address it, but it's very, it's a razor's edge on what you can, what you want to do, or what you see you want to do in the county versus in a city. Count people move out in the county, and I understand that I wouldn't be here to over-regulate in the county. It's, you know, doing some sensible, common sense upgrades that help the community as a whole, helps OEM as a whole, helps the judge's office as a whole on areas of concern that we have in the county, any drainage issues, development issues, and all the pressures on some of our rural roads. Would be kind of the focus. So that's what I'm looking at addressing this term, whether, you know, chair or not. And so that's kind of what I'm looking at, is just trying to take an overall view of the county and see where we might be able to add some stuff in that'll make, you know, hopefully more efficient, but also just be able to help out with developments and any concerns that residents may have out in the unincorporated portions. As most know, in the cities, even, you know, Worcester, Bologna, the smaller cities, they all have planning and they control generally, you know, half mile to a mile outside of city limits, but unincorporated, there's not, you know, there's not a lot of regulations, and we're starting to see some development pressure on the fringes. So that's kind of what I'm looking at as far as on this committee.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion?
Yes. And this question. If the committee would just allow me to add just a bit of color to the conversation, is really all I want to do. You spoke earlier a little bit to the role of the committee chair. So that's kind of just what I want to speak to in my just past experience. And I know Justice Coates could probably, as a surprise committee chair, speak to the dunking underwater that she experienced. I think a lot of the difference between, and I'll just speak from my experience, between sitting on a committee as a person on the committee, you know, as a participant versus the chair, is the amount and the level of communication and coordination that goes on between the county judge, the administrator, Tom, I'm sure on infrastructure, and like you said, Lance at the road shop. When I was a member of a committee, I would talk occasionally to those kind of people, but as soon as I was the chair of a committee, the amount of communication and coordination between our elected officials increased tenfold. You know, like, it was substantial. Like, I feel like I'm on the phone with someone at least 3 or 4 times a week on county matters. Now, budget's one thing, infrastructure is another, but, you know, I just know there's always things going on. That road shop runs 24/7, and there's always stuff going on there. So that's the only thing I'd say, I think, from a chairman's perspective, is that when you do assume that role of a chairman, that communication and coordination is going to go up substantially with our elected officials, because they rely on you. They want to keep you informed of what's going on. They want to keep you educated of what's going on. So when things do show up in committee, you're there and you're able to deal with it, and you're able to come at it from an educated, informed lens. Is that good? Is that right? You think so? She's doing a lot more than I am. I'm glad I'm not on the dog committee.
And if I may, one of the things that I did not know going into this, like I said, I was trial by fire, was the chairperson technically does not, and Council Murphy, correct me if I'm wrong, does not get to vote And so a lot of times, I know it's hard for me to refrain from that, but I also, in this committee and others, I look a lot towards Justice Lyon on where your leadership goes as far as, you know, what your vote is and what your opinion on things is. And so I definitely would hate to lose out on your vote on part of this too. I know there is, you know, if there's a tiebreaker or whatever that plays into that, but I definitely
and making motions is just as important as voting.
Right.
And you don't get to make motions either.
Right. Right. Just a couple of points. I can
think. Thank you very much. Any other discussion or input from the crowd? Any other discussion? Madam Secretary, will you call the vote? On the motion for the chair to be.
Justice Shorty. Sorry, point of order. I feel kind of stupid. I mean, if I'm the one being nominated, should I not vote? I mean, I don't want to.
Everybody can vote, including the chairperson.
I mean, I will just say, out of respect, I'll just abstain. I don't think it's fair. If I'm the nomination, I don't want to vote for myself, so it's up to the three. I don't feel comfortable voting for myself. That makes sense. It's like, I don't know if. I don't want.
It's still a strange condition.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah. If I have to vote, I will, but.
You do not have to vote. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to do this alphabetically, unless somebody has a feeling one way or the other. Is that okay?
Point of order again. Could you just restate the exact motion that we were voting on?
The motion is to change the chairperson from Justice Knight to Justice Lyon. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and we'll do a roll call vote by alphabetical order. Justice Knight, that puts you as the first vote.
No.
Justice Lyon?
Present.
Justice Strain?
Yes.
Justice Tyler?
No.
Justice Yorgi?
No.
Motion passed.
Thank you very much for that. It's a good discussion to have. It's good to understand why we exist as a committee, what the roles are, and sometimes the struggle of it. And I appreciate the discussion from the committee and from the crowd. And look forward to a good year. With that said, we have item number two on the agenda is the road department updates, including the last weather events and the snow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, we've had a couple events this year. The big one was the snow, and then after that, a week or two following that was a few minor flooding. And I guess if it was affecting me, it wasn't too minor, but it wasn't widespread like the snow was. During the snow, we did pre-treat 123 roads and or intersections with our salt brine to hopefully, if not keep the snow from accumulating, help it leave quicker. And then we put out a total of 16,000 gallons of that salt brine. Now, we mixed it by hand at the road shop, about 225 gallons at a time. So you can tell we did a lot of work to get that out. When we got the snow accumulating on the roads, we actually plowed 134 roads. We also spread salt and sand mixture, 240 tons of sand and 152 tons of salt. And on the roads we couldn't get to because they were too steep and too slick, we would put out calcium chloride by hand or back up some of our trucks and try to back our way up as it melted to melt some of the ice and snow so that we could get up over hills and service neighborhoods and other roads that were on the other side of the hill. Now, when it comes to flooding, a lot of times we'll have down trees. We had a few of those. We had to cut off the roads and a power line or two. We had to get our crews out there and cut the trees off of those. We will also put out, as we do in snow, on roads that are impassable, we'll put out barricades. Now, we can't keep people from going around the barricades, and they do often, and they get stuck and they have to be rescued. I think some departments may be a little slow to go to those spots because of the just outright stupidity over and over. But we do what we can to warn people about those areas. Now, after the flood and the snow, in order to kind of modernize and step up our game, there's a lot of corporate knowledge out there on where the bad spots are and where they're going to be. So we tried to reduce that to spreadsheets so that we're not trying to get those identified on the fly. We know ahead of time we can pre-place the fire departments or actually put them up ourselves, roadblocks, where they need to be for the snow and the ice. In addition, we've been working with the schools to try to identify their key roads that maybe not all of their bus routes are clear, but the ones that would keep them from opening so that we can not necessarily treat those first, but once we get the main arteries opened up, we can start working on those to help the roads or help the schools open up for school. Additionally, Mr. Chairman, if I might, we would also like to bring to the court's attention, the committee's attention, an adopted road program. We've had some reach out, and Justice Higgins has worked with some citizens that would like to, as you've seen, pick up trash alongside a stretch of the road. So I'd like to defer to him to talk a little bit about, even though it's in the MC, our plans for that.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. So this is a project that we actually started early in Judge Dobson's administration. And just because we have been busy with stuff, we developed the program and kind of put it on the shelf. We had a few people who were interested in an Adopt the Road program. And so what we did is we researched other Adopt the Road. We blatantly stole from other entities and found the best of the best. So there are a number of states that have an Adopt the Road program, including Arkansas has one. There are a number of cities and a few counties. Surprisingly, not very many counties actually do this. So we took the best of the best and developed a program that would allow those, either businesses, families, nonprofit organizations, you know, you can think of one of the groups that's reaching out to us now, it's actually 4-H, that they can adopt a section of road, and there's a commitment that we're developing. So really what we want to do tonight is just kind of bring this to your attention. Is this something you'd like for us to continue to pursue? We have right now actually two organizations that have reached out to us, so we've not advertised this out of the blue. Do y'all have a road program? And if so, can we participate in it? So we're dusting that off. We are going to have safety protocols for all of those. They will have to wear reflective vests. They will have to wear gloves. We, the county, can provide the vests and the gloves and the trash bags. Also, after they have committed to participate in this, they'll have to sign off on an agreement. And then when they've committed to do this and they've actually shown that they're willing to do it, the road department will purchase signs. I'm sure you've seen them in areas that says this, the next mile is has been adopted by this organization. Matter of fact, the closest one that I know of is the street in front of the Faulkner County Library. Actually, it's a city program. It actually says this street is adopted by the Faulkner County Library. So there would be a sign that has this organization that we would provide those signs. The signs are relatively inexpensive in the scheme of things, $100 for a sign on either end. And then the gloves, the reflective vests, the trash bags and everything, they don't add up to a whole lot. But just think about it. I think it's worthwhile that it allows an organization to participate in the community, and it helps clean up our roadways. So there's ownership there. So we're willing to run with that. Really what we want to do tonight is just get some feedback from you guys. Like, yeah, you guys are wasting our time. Or this is something that you think would be beneficial, and if you had any recommendations or suggestions. So, Mr. Chair, I'll open it up to any questions.
Thank you very much. Any discussion from the committee?
Yeah, Justice Higgins, if I can ask a question.
Do you know what?
So you mentioned money, and obviously money's always on the line. Is this something we have to create a budget for? So it's something that's absorbed by the road department, very minimal cost?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, but, you know, we've talked about it, about actually putting a line item in there. And all, but here's the deal. We go and clean up things all the time. We get calls on a regular basis that mattress has fallen out on the road, and we just go do that. We get where a trash bag has blown out on a county road and exploded, and there are times where we have to go pick that out. So that cost to do that. So this is really a road department cost. In the scheme of things, at this point, I don't say insignificant, it's a few $100s to get a stretch of road clean. We're sensitive to the fact that if this grows into something bigger, kind of like the coroner's report that's growing on us as we speak, but it gets in where it really does get to be expensive. At that point, we'll back off and bring it back to the infrastructure committee, and we'll talk about that and say, this has grown into a $5,000 expense. Is this something that we want to put a line item in? Is this something we want to continue to do?
I personally love the idea. Me and my family, actually, we adopt the road by neighborhood, and we spend time every few months in garbage because I think there's value in cleaning up your city or county. So I think it's awesome. I, you know, love to in any way help, and I think it's really cool that our community is interested in doing that because Butler County deserves to be clean. So I love that.
Thank you, Justice.
I agree with Justice Tyler. I think it is a good idea. Locally, hopefully, spoken with the County Sanitation Department, and they run a pretty robust adopt a road already. So they could probably definitely give you a full indication of what's all needed and tell, and then they have the sign, you know, again, like I said, hand you the bags, get a sign, they put the sign, the construction sign out and walk off so they know people know you're in the area. So I would highly encourage County Sanitation. Speak with them because they've got a pretty robust program going and knowing down to mapping where their adopted roads are and how to present them out to the public.
Absolutely. Thank you, Justice Brown.
I was wondering if there would be certain roads that are kind of up for adoption or whether it would be up to the organization to say we want to do the road in front of our house.
Yeah, so typically, at this point, both of the roads, the two entities that asked for us, those roads are county roads. So we're not looking at Highway 65, which is a state highway. So we will look at county roads. The recommendation of that organization would be foremost. The next thing we would look at, it would be safety issues. We'd be very concerned to make sure that they're not over the hill in a very high traffic area. If so, we may have to put additional provisions in there for that. But really, any county road at this point is open for consideration.
Randy,
yes, sir.
Do you have any kind of an estimate as to how much the county spends? Is there any sort of record as to how much we spend on it? That would certainly offset any expense we would have, I would think, for keeping track of a program where you had volunteers.
That's a good question, Justice Strain, and I don't think that we track that. I'll tell you that there are times when we get calls about issues that I've already given examples of that the road department responds to. I have to give credit where credit's due. There are times, I can think of one recently, where somebody had dumped three dead deer. We reached out to the sheriff's department, and they sent their code enforcement officer out there with some 309s. And they took care of that. That is not an uncommon occurrence either. Depending on what the issue is, oftentimes we reach out to the code enforcement officer, and I have to brag on Chief Woolley and the team. They always respond to us and help us with those instances. Sometimes it's a joint effort. Sometimes we use our building and grounds people that to clean up a particular issue if it's because they have equipment. They have a tractor with a front end loader. So, but routine trash issues, we don't really track that. It's just kind of a public service that we do. That's just a cost that we absorb. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I think the committee really likes this idea. I think that Bonner County would love this idea. This, you know, promotes cleaning up. I think our roads are pretty good, but there's definitely roads that I've traveled that could definitely use some love. And I know that there are definitely organizations, church groups, maybe clubs and schools that would love to participate in that. So I think it's a good idea to pursue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I at this point, because we're in the development stage, we think that what we'll do is probably pursue the two entities that have reached out to us, kind of work out any bugs that we may have, looking at those city challenges that we have. I'm springing it on the sheriff's office. We've not talked to them about this. I know one of the organizations reached out directly to the sheriff's office and asked for for a patrol unit to help them. They set up a time, like an hour or so, to help them with traffic. As we formalize this, we would certainly reach out to the sheriff's office and see how that goes. The reason that we want to make sure that we have worked out the issue with it is because we have a concern. We may get 100 requests or more. And so if we want to go that route, we want to be able to be prepared to answer that call and also be able to make sure that we're not getting to a cost-prohibitive program all at the same time. So I guess my answer would be we're taking a conservative approach on this to make sure that we don't get ahead of our students. All right. Thank you, sir. Any other questions for me? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Tom, does that conclude the report? Is there any other updates from the workshop?
Subject to any questions, that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, if I could be online.
Sure.
Just some observations. I'm sorry, Tom. I really appreciate you've been fantastic, especially dealing with me. I try to make it easy for you. Going back to the weather event, and this is, and I'm asking this question just because of my background. The Facebook posts, the videos are fantastic. Is there any potential for finding ways to update the public as far as, you know, I'm not talking about like iDrive, Arkansas has, but, you know, being able to post some stuff on either having a map or showing, you know, passable roads or roads that are blocked off. You know, for instance, let's say in Conway, obviously we're used to it, you know, anytime there's a drop of rain, they shut down the Salem Hill. But something like that, potentially in the future, as something that could be worked out to just for public awareness, and whether it's through the roads department, sheriff's office, or the OEM office. I mean, I know the technology's there. It's just getting it to be utilized, but I think it's more kind of just an informational thing for the public during these type of events, whether it's flooding, snow events, freezing, and whatnot.
We could sure put out the roads that have been closed. Now, developing a system to where we rate or grade how bad roads are as far as being really slick or just snow covered, that may take a little while to get to that. But we could sure put out the word on what we put barriers up on.
Thank you.
I know that Greenbrier schools were out an additional day than the Conway schools were. Were there particular areas in the Greenbrier district that prevented the schools from reopening? And I know you mentioned coordinating with the schools and the important routes for buses, but if you could provide any additional context on that, and if there's anything else that could be done to help those schools get back.
Yeah, obviously they didn't feel like it was safe due to road conditions. There were a couple, I don't know offhand exactly which ones they were. We talked to them and found out those roads and cleared them up for the next day. But that's part of what drove developing a list with input from the different schools so that we don't run into that situation where you're one or two roads away or three or four or half a dozen moving, and it's something that we could help them with ahead of time.
That's a really good question. I know from Mount Vernon, if you know what school district, it was closed an additional day as well. With some of the districts that are on the outlying parts of the county, they actually go into White County, and so could go to other counties. So they may have bus routes that, you know, Faulkner County could be clear, but White County may not be. I know in the northern part of the county, there are a lot of hills and a lot of roads with trees on both sides, and so there was no sun getting on those roads, and that was part of the reason they just took forever to thaw out. And a few years ago, this house is here, there was a school bus on Simpson Road that slid off, and that road has a really steep pitch, and so school districts and school bus administrators were very cautious before they send buses out. So there was a couple of districts that definitely had to go play a few days.
And I'll say this, it's very difficult to put a road grader or any kind of blade on a chip seal road, because if you're not careful, you'll peel the chip seal right up off the surface. And the same, you can't do a whole lot with gravel roads for the same reason. And a lot of school routes are on those types of roads.
Sure. I got to spend some time with the OEM / road department the Thursday before the winter storm came in, along with Minister Higgins, not Justice Higgins. And I was really impressed with what I saw, the shifting that they worked with the judge on, how to have the hours where people can get rest and come in, the preparation that I saw, and getting to spend time with them asking questions about their job. And I just was really impressed. Furthermore, hearing from our constituents, not really my direct constituents, because I'm a city JP, but hearing from people I know who live in the county telling me that they didn't have the problems they've experienced in the past with getting through roads. And I think that speaks volumes of not only how hard our road department worked, but how effectively and efficiently they did. And I think the going back to the way we recreated the infrastructure of the jobs, I think speaks volumes of that too. So I just think our county government is doing it right now, but our road department did a really good job when most people would complain about it and don't want to help. They did a good job with that. And so I was just pleased. I think that's in direct relation to Mr. Anderson, to be honest. And I just appreciate the fact that he works hard and everyone in that position does well.
Thank you. And I'll end it. Everybody out there, when it's time for stuff to happen, nobody bats an eye. We've got an excellent group of people out at the road shop, from admin to the road grader operators and truck drivers. They all do a great job, and this time was no different. And as you suggested, everywhere we've been since the snowstorm, we've gotten big attaboys for the response, unsolicited. So I just want to brag on those folks out there.
Mr. Chair, if I could just make one quick comment, Justice Tyler and Justice Lyon kind of circled around and hit it close, but when we talk about communications and getting the information out, so we have our county PIO, and we have these situations, we bring her into the EOT, and just so that you understand the level of teamwork, typically the OEM and those in the EOC, I help facilitate that. In the meantime, Tom is working with operations to get the job done, so really our job is to get as much in the EOC, Emergency Operations Center, to get as much information as we can to Tom and the team so that they can go execute. And so part of that is with our PIO. And so hopefully in this last situation, so we really work with I don't do extra Twitter, but she does, and then Facebook, and we get lots of feedback on. Matter of fact, sometimes I'll get texts, like I haven't seen your latest Facebook page, a post about how is Highway 65 and how it goes. So, we get feedback from the operations crew to let us know, and we post that as soon as we can to get that out there. Judge Dodson was out actually doing that. I was out on the road, and we would get caught up, and we would get reports. The road crews were actually out doing the work, and we get a report of a road over here. We don't know what kind of shape it is, so we'll branch off and go check out those roads, give that information back to Tom and the team there, and then they execute that way. It's all teamwork. Again, exactly what Thompson couldn't really express the level of cooperation and teamwork that we had with the whole group to make it happen.
Thank you, Mr. Hanson. One comment that I got at the snowstorm, and I don't normally hear this as JPs. Normally, our constituents was watching things, but I had multiple comments. You guys did a great job on the roads. Could you spend more money on that and maybe get some more snowplows? I mean, and I don't know how expensive that would be, but they love, the citizens of Paulding County love to have their roads completed. Our county roads are almost better than the state roads, not part of the county. So it was wonderful. But if we could look at adding additional power to or retreating more, I know that we probably hit a limit as to how much we can mix so fast. Our citizens really appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, we're actually looking at being able to develop a system where we can mix bigger batches at a time so that we can cover more ground. And also looking at getting another dump truck with the ability to spread sand and salt and a blade in the front of it, as well as looking at our 3/4 times. We're going to try, I think, one of those with a blade to just cover more ground, be more close.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Any other questions or comments? Right, moving right along to item number 3, Justice Lyon. I'm going to give the floor to you regarding the master street plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Both these items are just for discussion right now. I don't intend on an ordinance or resolution in
any time in the future. I've spoken with Judge Dotson briefly on it, and need to realize that this is these two items are probably going to be multi-month projects. So I'm just trying to lay out some stuff. So on this point, I will allow, or not allow, but have Administrator Higgins to tell me I'm wrong, or Mr. Anderson tell me I'm wrong. To my knowledge right now, the county as a whole, we really don't have a true master street plan system, meaning we've gone out and have basically said, all right, I-40 we know is a freeway. That's obvious. That's easy. Highway 64, Highway 65, 225 are, let's just call them major arterials. Those are our traffic generators. Probably Highway 36 as well. And then you have your smaller roads, let's say Auto Road, Skunk Hollow, Middle Road, we consider those minor arterials. Again, lots of traffic, and you have a lot of traffic that dumps off on them. And then you get some smaller roads that most would call collectors. Okay? Think of a major road that goes into a subdivision or out of a subdivision. Well, the houses collect onto that road, and then it's going to eventually dump into a minor arterial, then major arterial, then obviously the freeway. So my goal on this is to start working with the county officials, and we start creating a master street plan. And what that will do, ideally in the long run, is as new property is platted, for instance. Right now, if you look at a parcel map of the county, you may see a lot of parcels that meet up, and they meet up in the center of a road. So generally, if you live in a residential subdivision, let's say in the city, generally 50-foot right-of-ways, 27-foot road, back of curb. Get out in the county, you are seeing, and Mr. Anderson can probably back this up, you're probably not seeing too many curb and gutter roads. I think maybe the only one I even could really think of would be in just the Roush Coleman subdivisions out off of the Sunny Gap and also off of Middle Road. But those are true subdivisions. You get out on the Middle Road, Skunk Hollow, they are all open ditch. So what this master street plan would also do is you start laying out design. So let's just throw it out there. Let's say Middle Road. Okay, Middle Road ever gets developed, you start creating. Okay, we know Middle Road is a, let's call it a minor arterial. Development wise, we want 60 to 80 foot of right of way potentially. And what that would allow is you start designing it, working with the roads department. Is okay, we have a 60 foot right of way. We want a 24-foot road, and then maybe you could add 3-foot shoulders, and then you have your open ditch. Or if it is curb and gutter, you have a different format if you go that route. So that's essentially what the master street plan is going to do. It's going to allow you to lay out details for future growth, and you also allow you to know where your future growth is. And that eventually would then tie into what I'm going to be presenting next, would start working on a subdivision ordinance for the county. So that's kind of the 30,000 foot view of it. And if you saw the attachment, I added a couple of links. Pulaski County and Saline County are the two counties I'm really looking at right now. You can get access to their what they have as a master street plan and their current development subdivision ordinances. What I do want to say from the very get-go on both of these items is I'm not proposing zoning in the county. I know Planning is a naughty word in the county, unincorporated county, and I'm fine with that. I'm not recommending zoning in the county. That is a bridge too far. I'm not asking for a master land use plan. I've been on the fringes working with that, with Pulaski County going through theirs, and it's just a process that I don't think Faulkner County needs at this point. And I am not looking at development plan review. I think that's, again, if that's the way the judge would like to go at some point, sure, we can look at that. But those three items right now are not on the table for me on this, what I'm proposing here. So I'm just proposing right now a general, broad master street plan, just so we can work with the different departments, judge's office, roads department, OEM, and we start having designs of what we need to see for future development, especially with some of these subdivisions that are going in and out in the unincorporated part of the county. So with that said, that's kind of the 30,000 foot view on a master street plan. And I can I gladly answer any questions anybody on the committee would have.
Justice Lyon, I appreciate you bringing this up. I know that you said a word, the growth is coming. It's explosive in Palmer County. If we don't get ahead of this, we're going to have traffic nightmares. And then even with the subdivision limits, the issues that we've dealt with the last couple of years with people building, not knowing they're in the floodplain,
yes.
But that's why we want to take a look at this. And it is to, one, protect our citizens, and to really protect the county so we are not spending more money, 10 years down the line than if we could have just laid it out correctly or more efficiently. Right now, we can save some money down the line. So, and promote growth as well. So that's what we're about.
Well, and one other thing a master street plan will do, I believe right now, a county ordinance, for instance, we have a lot of private roads. I believe the Come Out OEM is, I believe, in administrative, correct me if I'm wrong, or Mr. Anderson, if you put more than two housing units or three housing units on a driveway, it basically has to become it becomes a private road, more or less, more for, I think, emergency management purposes. So you have instead of let's say a 132 ABC, you actually have a named road with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or whatnot. And that this would help a little bit in identifying those. And it also is just going to create some consistency. It would help create some consistency. And I think in the long term, just long term growth plan of, okay, this is where our major routes are. And, we've got I-40, 65, 64 reason because we have RDOT traffic numbers on there. And if our county roads, does our county roads do traffic counts at all on certain areas?
Yes,
we do traffic counts. We recently tripled our ability to do that, so we're getting more as we go in collecting that.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson, on that one. I'm still learning a little bit of things. I haven't been around the OEM side a little bit, and then also I've got to work alongside former foreman Ledbetter during his time at the county road, so I was able to learn a lot on that. So obviously we have numerous roads and numerous road types. I mean, we go anywhere from asphalt to chip seal to gravel to some of the roads are just pure dirt roads right now. So this master plan, I hope in the end is going to allow the county to be able to master plan and have growth and know what we need to do in the future if we have to end up building a new road or realign a road or just somewhere to help.
Any other questions from the people?
I think on my end of the county, we're starting to get a lot of overflow from Mauvelle, from North Little Rock, people moving over on the old highway and subdivisions down there. And there's a lot of development going on down there right now. And what I'm seeing, not just in my end of the county, but other places where there's a lot of subdivisions, is that they put in a minimal road going into a subdivision, and then it expands really big, and then you have people, like one place I'm thinking about, it's just a regular size small road, and they put the mailboxes right up next to the road, and then people are driving from the bigger subdivision, the bigger part of the subdivision, they're driving down that one road that they've got to get out of there at highway speeds. And it just imperils the lives of the people that live along that street. And one particular road that I'm thinking about, you think that, well, it would be a good idea to try to correct that problem before they built roads on the other side of the street. But they're in process right now. They're already putting in the gutters right up next to the street, obviously going to do the same thing on the other side of the street and then build small houses. So you have these really inadequate roads being built by contractors going into these bigger subdivisions, and after it's done, they want the county to take the road over, and the houses are so close to the road that you really don't have any options, or it would be a very expensive option to try to widen that road, or you're in a situation where you have to try to come in from a different direction to relieve that traffic on that road. But I just feel like that it's creating not only a big economic problem for the county, because to widen that road, it would literally probably cost millions of dollars to the county to try to widen that road after the contractors that built the subdivision put in a road that's not up or not adequate for a subdivision of that size. And that's why I think what Jason is talking about is so important, is that if we don't get on top of it, I mean, I've traveled a lot in my businesses, and I've been in West Virginia, I've been to the East Coast, I've been up in Vermont is really an interesting place, but they have like no planning, and they have one interstate, and so when the growth comes from overflow from the bigger cities, I mean, it just creates a nightmare for the people who live there. And we're in a situation where we're really at a pivotal point right now with the county growing at the rate it is. So if we don't start taking a closer look at these subdivisions, I know you've got some coming, a lot of them being built up in your area too. And they open the other end of that and build that, and it's all going down that same little road that they built going in. It creates a tremendous hazard, especially if you see little kids out there riding their bicycle along that road. It's just a matter of time before we're going to see some people dying out there. And so I'm concerned about it. And I think we really need to start talking about it because 10 years down the road, not that I would necessarily be here 10 years down the road, but it's going to be a problem that you cannot afford to go back and correct. I don't know what we'd end up doing at that point. So that's just my comment. And on I applaud Jason for bringing that before the committee, because if you're not in the county, I really encourage you to go out and look in the county at some of these subdivisions they're putting in, because a lot of the roads and water systems are inadequate. And then when the contractors put the money in his pocket and he's left, it's left for us to try to come up with the money to repair the damage that's been done. So thank you.
So just one, thanks for the idea. So is this something that would turn into, it's not the road we have, what's the process for the special plan to come live?
So I think it would be an ordinance or possibly just a resolution. I'd have to speak with Attorney Murphy. We'll work through that process. Looking through some of the others, like Saline County, for instance, work through with Metro Plan on theirs. And that may be something I'll have more conversations with Judge Dodson, our county attorney, Mr. Anderson, Mr. Higgins on this, and how we want to proceed. Obviously, I don't want to make anybody mad or overstep my boundaries here. I'm just trying to give a good 30,000 foot view. If you don't mind me kind of backtracking on Justice Strain, so having been in the planning office for the past 15 plus years, generally most counties and cities, talk about the contracts coming in to build a road. I know our roads department here, I mean, there is a standard that the roads have to meet. And generally there is typically there's a 2-year maintenance bond. So in the first 2 years, they've got to be taken care of. It's pretty well covered. And then at that point, I believe the judge's office can sign off on dedication of the road to the county. Takes over if it meets all the specifications. Obviously, that can change a little bit as you have other roads. There's various orders that come out occasionally on a road that goes from being maybe a bus route or a private road. It can be, by a judge's order, of course, can be turned into a dedicated county road.
And so, just to show you what we see a lot is, there'll be a subdivision that's built, say it's built in 2000, and there's a ton of development there. There are beautiful houses there. People buy these, they fill up, and they just expect that these are county roads. And they start falling in, and they have problems, and they wonder why the judge hasn't fixed. lease piece, they come to find out these are private roads. The developer may, and they may not have built to the county spec, so the judge never took it in. And so then, 20 or 30 years down the line, the judge is faced with a hard decision. Do I, these people have been paying county taxes for 30 years. Do I, you know, make them as individuals come together and fix it, or do we take it in? So that's a decision that has to be, a hard decision that has to be made. Now, but if we can fix that or put, you know, regulation in place at the beginning that they have, before they start the subdivision, that they have to build the county spec, then it, it actually saves the taxpayer, it saves the homeowner, but where it comes to, it's the cost of the developer. So he's having to. And it really, the homeowner pays for it in the price of the house, but they have a good road. It lasts a long time. It doesn't become a burden on the county. That's what we're looking at, and I really appreciate it. It needs to happen, and we've got to do it right. So, otherwise, we won't be here in 2 years if we get it wrong. So,
you four might be here. So I guess for sake of time, I can jump on this, the proposed county subdivision ordinance. So, so subdivision ordinance, big picture, talking with their, other JPs and whatnot, the issues out in the counties are, a lot of them right now are actually the private sewers, the private sewer treatments. And those have been issues for 20 plus years. And it's all about maintenance on those. And that's stuff we can discuss as we go on that. We do have a, hopefully that can help with developers down the road as a potential regional sewer system. That's out of our purview right now, with a different organization. But so subdivision ordinance, best way to think of that, this ideally as a county subdivision ordinance would in the end wrap in addressing, which our OEM office already does. In fact, I believe our OEM director and the county judge signs off on every plat that comes into the county, whether it's City of Conway, City of Bologna, unincorporated, because they want to stamp, the previous OEM director, she wanted to make sure there was an OEM stamp talk regarding floodplain. Now, what I have, I looked on our website, and I don't see a county subdivision ordinance right now. I see how to get an address and whatnot, and I may be wrong. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. So what this would do, this would lay out guidelines for residents, developers. They have a, let's say 10 acre piece of property, and they want to divide it up into, let's say, 5 2-acre lots. And I believe, after speaking with Ms. Darter and Chrissy at the assessor's office, I want to say there was an act passed 2 years ago that I think requires with a deed, a survey or something showing the divisions. But what this would allow would be, would make it a legal, it makes it a legal document. You can see exactly where lines are. You've got meets and, it's no longer meets and bounds. It's lot one, you know, Justice Knight subdivision, lot 2, 3, 4, 5. So it actually, it helps the citizens in the end too, because now you're not looking at a, if you ever had to read a legal on a big piece of property, especially out of the county, you're looking at almost a full page, two page document, and it's hard to make heads or tails because you're looking, well, this nail in this oak tree 500 feet from this sewer pipe type situation. So this would help that on, it creates legal bound, official legal boundaries of lots. It allowed, and it's also, hopefully it'll create a little more efficiency, and it gives a, gives more of a look for our OEM office and the judge's office to look at more than just, okay, is there a floodplain on, is there a floodplain on this property or not? What it lays out is, you start looking at these developments, you will, obviously it's not just sewer, it's not just water that has to get in there. You've got to get, you've got to make room for, let's say, AT&T, if they want to put their fiber in the neighborhood, Entergy or Conway Corp or whoever serving electrical, they've got to have room. So a subdivision ordinance allows you to lay out, okay, we have a road goes into the subdivision, okay, that's your collector road. okay? Everything else being like a hub and spoke type. All the other roads go off, their residents will be 60-foot road going in, you know, 27 to 32 foot wide, back and curb, interior roads, smaller roads, 24, 27 foot, back and curb, and it creates cohesiveness now, and you can go as far as, okay, we want sidewalks. I'm not a big proponent of sidewalks, especially out in the county. I may be wrong, but I'm not a big proponent of sidewalks. Out in the county cities, it works better when you have bike paths and trails, you're getting somewhere, but a lot of times out in the county, that's not really I don't think that's necessarily a concern that most county residents have, and that's actually a extra burden on a developer or homeowner, so that's not something I'm up on right now with it. But the subdivision allows us to get a more cohesive, and it would also allow Director Hillman and his staff to know what they need to look for. You know, okay, like Justice Strain was saying, well, you have a 2-acre lot on a fairly big road. Do you want a house 25 feet off the road? Not really. You want more 40, 50 foot, so it's, you know, ability setback line. So you want to push it off just a little bit. Do you want, like on a, I'll use the example we have in the county. I believe it's on Rooster Road right down there at 286, where you've got, I think, 7 or 8 driveways backing up onto Rooster Road, which is a pretty heavily traveled road. That's not the best idea, but we don't have mechanisms to say, no, you need to leave that road open and just have your collector roads coming onto it. So there's various things to look at. And again, I highly encourage you, if you look at those links, and I'm going to start cherry picking out pieces of this. I have an acquaintance with Van McClendon, who's the Pulaski County Planning Director. And again, I'm not looking at doing a big 66-page ordinance. I'm looking at trying to, at least for now, do the bare minimum we can to set some standards for our developers in the county. And, you know, whether that's sewer connection or, you know, I think it's going to be more of a state issue as far as, you know, the private sewer treatment plants. But the mechanisms there would be on a plat, let's say, oh, you want to put a private sewer treatment plant back in the corner. Okay, you need to have a bill of assurance that it's going to be maintained. You know, talking with Jess Lahowski over the years, you know, there's one in his district that's not good at all. And we had issues with it with the city of Conway calling us on it too. The other issue is most of the cities in the county also exercise their extraterritorial jurisdiction, typically 1 mile. So I know Worcester has a planning commission, Greenbrier has a planning commission, Conway has a planning commission, and they actually regulate subdivision outside of their city limits into the county. So yes, the county signs off on it, but I think a more in-depth review would be needed for some of those, especially if they're subdivisions. That's mainly what I'm looking at. You know, a 5-acre lot or bigger, if you're subdividing that down into less than 5 acres, it's little things that I think will just assist in the end. And that's kind of my, again, 30,000 overview take on it. And I'll start presenting more as I go. But tonight's meeting, I appreciate Justice Knight allowing me to get this discussion going, and we'll see where it leads, whether it gets to come back in a month or two or it's just shot down. So, but at least get the discussion going and start opening up some ears.
I appreciate it. I think, as everybody's heard, this is very complex, and we're going to have to look at the nitty-gritty of what we want this to look like, and there's a lot of players involved. This is, you know, the county is a player, developers, utilities, so the state, the AEQ, you name it. So there's a lot of players that we're going to need to get involved because we're wanting to promote growth and park. And we don't want to stifle it. We want to make it easier for developers so they can come pick up the ordinance, look at it, and know what the minimum requirements are, and they don't have any, you know, they're not in the gray area. They can produce a very safe, efficient houses because there's a lack of housing park. We need more housing. So, I appreciate you bringing this. This is going to take some time. You know, this is, it needs to happen. And so I look forward to working through this, you know, however long it takes. So, any other questions from the committee? Or?
I have one question. Man, I could geek out on this stuff. I have a lot of questions, actually, but I'll spare people the time to go to bed. But the one question that popped my mind, would this master street plan create the need to reclassify streets?
Well, this could be Mr. Anderson or Attorney Murphy. Does the county right now have a master street plan design that we know of that where we have roads labeled?
No.
Okay. So one way that one thing you could look at, I put the link is in this one. It's the GIS map for the city of Conway, and that's what I'm talking about. The city of Conway goes out at least 1 mile, maybe even 2 miles, I believe, because of the size. But you'll see how they have roads classified. You know, collector, proposed collector, because they're also looking at an urban growth plan, if and when they annex out into the county. So I would obviously encourage you to look at that over the next month or two. And then like I said, you got links to all these documents that are good. Obviously there's one, I just haven't opened it. I have no desire in the county to get into parking requirements. That would be political suicide. So I have no desire to say you can park here, you can't park there. And so there's going to be portions of these subdivision ordinances I want to look at that I think it's going to be most beneficial to the county.
Thank you very much. I will just caution the committee. Several years ago, I was Justice Higgins is still here, we had this, just it was whispered in the halls of the courthouse about a noise ordinance. Mm-hmm. And I had people knocking on my door the next day. So
we need to tread lightly. We need to come to the committee with open minds and look at how we can design this to benefit everybody. I think we will. So, any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think we need to, especially with so much industry moving into the state, we probably need to consider that other than just residential, because I think it could be very profitable for the county on the one hand, but it could be quite a burden if we don't at least consider those eventualities.
Hear a motion to adjourn.
So moved.